Support for this podcast and the following message come from Dignity Memorial. When your celebration of life is prepaid today, your family is protected tomorrow. Planning ahead is truly one of the best gifts you can give your family. For additional information, visit dignitymemorial.com.
Hi, this is Ian from Brooklyn, New York. The Sound of Young America is an independent production supported by listeners like you and me. If you'd like to donate to support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate. Take it, Jesse.
Live on tape from my house in Los Angeles, I'm Jesse Thorne, and this is The Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org.
Radio sweetheart on the airways, it's the sound of young America.
This Sound of Young America podcast was recorded live at the Seattle Sketchfest in Seattle, Washington. My guest was Pete Rothbart, one of the editors of an amazing magazine called Found, composed exclusively of things that people have, well, found. Let's get to the stage of the Seattle Sketchfest. For people who might be out there listening and have never seen an issue of Found magazine, if they opened it up, what would they find?
They would find a collection of notes and letters and pictures and homework, to-do lists, dead frogs, and other such things that have been found by people across the country and actually across the world.
How did it start?
One day in Chicago, my brother was a snowy day in Chicago, and he went out to his car, which was parked on the street. And you know, when it snows, all the cars end up kind of looking the same. So he found a note on his car that was addressed to a guy named Mario, and it said, "Mario, I hate you. You're a liar. You said you had to work. Why is your car here at her place? I hate you, I hate you." Signed Amber, and then at the end it had a little coda, "P.S. Page me later." And he just thought that was such a sweet, it was sweet and funny, and also at the same time a little heartbreaking, because you can sense how upset Amber is, but also how much she cares about this guy Mario. And he, you know, he showed it to a lot of his friends, and they would tell him about things that they had found as well. And he thought it was such a shame. You know, people always have these notes that they found posted up on their refrigerator or something like that. And he thought it was such a shame that only the people who trooped through their kitchen would get to see it. So he had the idea, why not make a magazine where everyone can share around?
After this operation got started, do you remember the first thing that you found that was really promising or magical?
Yes. In 2002, I think, when I was at the University of Michigan, I found under the tire of my bike, I found a pretty handsome-looking sign that someone had slapped together, you know, like maybe Photoshop or something like that. And they clearly put some time into it. And it said, "After leaving the building, please lock this door. It will prevent unauthorized people from entering the building and defecating in the washing machine." Many thanks. And I had to wonder after that, like, how many repetitions of someone taking a dump in the washing machine did it take before they were inspired to make that sign?
Or maybe that was like a second or third generation sign. The first
right.
sign was just handwritten.
It didn't work, right?
Yeah. They keep finding that defecate, I believe is what it's called on public radio. What's the difference between a find that's neat and a find that makes it into the pages of Found magazine?
You know, what we look for in a find is something that will help you relate to someone's humanity. You know, that really helps you see the world through their eyes, whether it's in a funny way or a heartbreaking way. You know, just something that gives you a little insight into how other people interact with the world.
Can you give me an example of a find that gives, like, that really gives insight to someone's world?
This is one that was found in North Carolina. It's a note to Ron. It says, "Dear Ron, the longer I think about what I'm doing, the sicker I feel. Ron, I'm sorry, but I don't think that we should continue to have a relationship together, at least not as a couple. I love you, but things have not been the same since we found out that we were related. If you no longer want to speak to me because of this, I'll understand. I'll still come visit you on Sundays if you like. I just don't know what to say to you. Love always, Alicia." And, you know, you can imagine this girl going through this process. It's hard to find true love in this world, right? So imagine you finally do, and then it turns out to be your sister, you know? You can imagine it's pretty funny. When I first read this note, I burst out laughing. But then it's also kind of sad. It really, if you put yourself in her perspective, it opens your eyes to scenarios you may not have imagined.
There's almost a built-in sadness or pathos to all finds, being that by their very definition they've been discarded, right?
It's like everything people make is art in some way, and the way I look at it, there's just all this beautiful art just strewn about the streets and computer lab trash bins and playgrounds. There's all this art that's out there, and you know, our objective is to salvage it and bring it to other people as best we can.
The last time Davey was on the show was in the middle or immediately after the two of you had loaded up a van and done a found performance in all 50 states.
Yes.
you're smiling like that was a trying experience.
Yes.
tell me what that was like. I mean, I can't, the idea of performing in 50 states, I can almost imagine. The idea of doing it with my brother, I have two brothers who I love very much.
It was awesome. The reason we did a 50-state tour is because as we were putting together the first found book, so we have the magazine and then we also have these found books. And the first found book, we realized there were finds in there from every single state. And we thought it was only just to go to every state to share the finds back out with people.
That is the definition of justice.
Yes.
I think we've all learned that from the found episodes of Law and Order.
So we did 50 states, about 135 shows, 150 shows, something like that. I think it was 135 cities, 150 shows. And yes, it was a long, grueling experience. It's very difficult traveling with a brother and being in that sort of close quarters for such a long period of time. But at the same time, I feel like he's probably the only person I could do it with, because when it's family and you get in an argument, it's like no matter what you say to each other or do to each other, you're still family at the end. So I think it's made us much closer touring around the last 5 or 6 years. But we're not here to talk about my family. Thank God we're not here to talk about my family.
One of the things about doing these shows in different places is that not only are you performing for these people, but you're also bringing these people to you to share things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
With you. Do you get things that are indicative or somehow native to the places that they came from?
I think I see a lot of examples that play into stereotypes. Like, for example, that note that I just read about the inbreeding was from North Carolina. And I don't think that's really fair to say that it represents that area of the country. But yes, I would say absolutely. We do see a lot of people can't help but the great thing about these found notes is that they're very true. You know, people, they're not expecting their notes to be read by anyone else. And so with that in mind, they write what they mean. You know, they're not posing for anything. And so you see people's bare selves. And in that sense, yes, I think you get a very real image of who someone is.
Do you ever feel invasive?
Yeah, but that doesn't bother me.
Sincerely, really?
You know, I think found is a bit voyeuristic. You know, you're looking into other people's lives, but I think that that's healthy. I think it's healthy to be curious about other people's experience of being alive and you know, how they interact with the world. I think that's perfectly normal.
You've got this pile of finds, yeah. And I'm so excited to investigate. What have you got there?
Here's one of my favorites. This one is found in L.A., and it's addressed to Jesse. So
that's my name.
It says, "Jesse, I did not take anything. I know there's no convincing you once you've made up your mind. And although I cannot offer you any other explanation as to what happened to it, that doesn't mean I did it. How could I have? You say your car was locked and Katie had the keys. Anyway, I don't need to take something of yours when I can get my own. It doesn't make sense. But here's a replacement, because I can't stand it when you think I've wronged you. Signed, Mom."
Now, There's something really amazing about the stories, not only that are contained literally, but also the stories that they suggest. When you're driving that van, do you ever just fantasize about the world?
You know, there's some messages that are cryptic and just bizarre, and even a lot of the notes that are clear. You don't know, like even this note right here, you don't know what the backstory is, and you're free to just invent whatever you think happened. And actually, when we invite people to send in their finds, we ask them to share with us, you know, a little bit about the story of where they found it, but also their idea of what was happening in the note, and you know, anything they can conjure up.
Well, let's hear another one.
This one was found in Tuscaloosa, I think. It's a flyer, a woman looking for a babysitter. It says, babysitter wanted for 3 children, ages 8, 6, and 4, for after school, weekends, and evenings, 10 to 15 hours a week. Must be able to drive. I prefer a non-smoker. The kids are cute. The food is good, and the mom is easy. Sounds like a good gig to me, man. And then this one came in from Lincoln, Nebraska. It looks like someone making out a list of goals, things they want to bring into their life. So the first one says, go to church, find God, then find myself through him, get baptized. The second one says, party a lot, meet new people, and start drinking.
It's the Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest is Pete Rothbart. He's one of the editors of Found Magazine. We'll have more with Pete in just a minute when we return.
Production of the Sound of Young America is supported in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered. Online at ask.metafilter.com.
In the early 60s, Mal Sharp and James P. Coyle put on the squarest suits they could find, picked up a briefcase with a hidden tape recorder, and hit the streets of San Francisco with some of the craziest schemes ever imagined by man. Want to know how a drunk sailor reacts when they tell him they'd like him to star in their verite film about a bank robbery? And that they'll be using real guns? And that no one but him will know it's a film? And that afterwards they'll all split the money? You might be surprised. Maximum Fun is proud to present Season 2 of Coyle and Sharp, The Imposters. Real put-ons from the real streets of real 1960s San Francisco, featuring James P. Coyle and Mal Sharp, a pair of real nuts. Search for Coyle and Sharp in iTunes or visit MaximumFun.org. It's the Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org. I'm Jesse Thorne. When we left off, Pete Rothbart was reading found notes from the pages of Found Magazine.
And this one here was found in San Francisco. It's the first ever found contract. It says, I, Becca McNeil, state herein that upon my death, Drew Copel has all legal rights to my skull. I like to imagine Drew coming to Becca's funeral and like trying to collect on that contract, like showing this handwritten contract to her family. Being like, come on, guys, pay up.
I brought a hacksaw.
Here's another one found in Durham, North Carolina. This, you know, people are always trying to pass the buck, trying to blame their problems on someone else, and that's kind of what this person's trying to do. It's a very simple note. It just says, the condom made a mistake and broke. As I was saying, we get a lot of found stuff from kids, or the stuff that's written by kids and sent in by kids. But this one was written by a kid. It was found in Columbus, Ohio. It's a kid writing about his grandma. He says, when I heard my grandma died, I sat down and cried. I never wanted her to, but she did. She also got hit in the head with a lid. That was kind of funny. It even tickled my tummy. But anyway, I still feel bad. My brother was so sad. But it's okay. We got other grandmas anyway. And then one more that was written by a kid sent in from Philadelphia. Something you gotta love about kids is their lack of subtlety. This one says, Dear Tony, you are the best uncle I've ever had. By the way, my birthday's coming up, and I would like $5 from you and Aunt Robin.
That's a very direct approach.
Yeah, it is.
You got to hand it to
that
kid.
You're the best uncle I've ever had.
Do you ever find things that that are scary or upsetting to you?
I'll tell you the scariest and most upsetting note that I ever found. Well, I didn't find it, but that I've ever seen Wasn't one. It was one that I wasn't quite sure what happened. I can paraphrase it for you. I think I can recite it. It says, "Darling, last night I had premonition on that box. Dark premonition which has bore itself out. This premonition explains why we were deadlocked." Now, I don't know what is happening. I think there may have been a murder involved.
Wow.
But that intimidated me.
Have you ever found anything where it's like it was summoning a demon, but then at the end the like line trails off?
Did you
down towards
did
also
you,
it's written in blood.
Did you lose something? Is that
Hey. So you've also taken these fines and expanded them into this whole kind of performance world. You starting with if I'm not mistaken, a play that you found a portion of.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, there's a play that was found in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's a 4-page play called Art and Architecture, but only pages 1, 2, and 4 were found. And there's clearly something happens on page 3 on which the entire plot hinges. And I can't tell what, but it's pretty hysterical without page 3. It's probably a better play without page 3.
You've also taken to writing songs based on the fines. Do you want to play one of the songs?
I'd love to.
Us?
Yeah. So you know, I've written a couple songs that are based on some of the found items. This one I'm going to play for you is based on a find that came into us from Oregon City, Oregon. It's a guy writing to a girl that he met in a coffee shop and who he's been in love with ever since. But for the past 10 years, but he's never quite worked up the courage to tell her how he feels about her. And his life has been through a lot of, peaks and valleys. He gets married and has a kid. He battles drug abuse. Not to compare having a kid with battling drug abuse, but he's, his life has gone through a lot of changes, but all the while he's reserved these strong feelings for this girl. And then he has this awakening where he realizes his life's ambition, which is to build and race the fastest Nissans in the Northwest. And having this awakening like helps him work up the courage to tell this woman how he feels about her. So he writes it all down in a letter. He's no longer with the mother of his child, so he's not sleeping around or not trying to. And he writes down everything in this letter and sends it to her, and then it turns up unopened on our doorstep, so she never got it. But I thought it was such a beautiful note. I wrote this song about it called "The Baddest Nissans in the Northwest," and I'd love to play it for you guys now.
Peter Rothbart.
I remember that first sight, getting coffee on a cold and rainy October night. I can't say who ordered or how late we stayed, but your hair was pulled back in a beautiful French braid. You were of such an open mind, and so easy to befriend through all the bullshit that I wear to fend off almost everybody else that I wanted to show you my heart despite myself. My pursuit of the perfect time and words would keep me awake, but the feeling you were more than I deserved was one that I couldn't shake.
I had a very bad disease. It hit me like a mobster with a bat to the knees. And I'd come to you a cracked out sleepless king, wanting only to think of this one beautiful thing. You can only go so long watching your attempts to get the things you want go all wrong. So I started hanging with a different crowd and reminding myself not to think my feelings out loud. 8 years later, I am so much more complete, but I can't deny the fleeting minutes when I see you on the street are the times that I feel most alive. I know I've been redeemed to build the baddest Nissans the Northwest has ever seen and raise my son to be a proud and caring man in the hope he might have your healing hands. Oh, we both have our own paths to follow. I love you too much to swallow. If you don't see me the same anymore, just know when you need me, I'll be there forever yours.
Thank you.
Pete Rothbart is an editor for Found Magazine. You can find them online at foundmagazine.com. Now, that's the public radio portion of the interview. We have one last song for you, and it's distinctly podcast only. It's called The Booty Don't Stop. Here's Pete introducing it.
This next one is based on the greatest found item of all time, which is this cassette tape that was found in a little town called Ypsilanti, Michigan. It's right near Ann Arbor, where we're from. Representing Ypsi. I'm glad to hear someone in the audience. So what happened was this kid named Nigel was walking home from the bus, and he sees this tape on the ground, stops to look at it, and when he picks it up, all it says on it, it just says booty tape. So Nigel did, in my opinion, the only rational thing that any person could do when you find a tape that says booty tape on it. He raced home with it as fast as he could and popped it in his boombox to see what it was all about. And on it, he found 10 of the most dick-donkulous, bootylicious, homemade rap anthems that you can possibly imagine. There were songs like Wave Your Booty in the Air and Taste That Booty Flavor and The Booty Don't Stop. And my personal favorite, Damn Girl, Your Shit Be Up in My Face. And there were no liner notes or anything. It was just a cassette tape. But he was able to figure out the names of all these songs because each one was just one phrase repeated over and over and over again. So, for example, that song, The Booty Don't Stop, he puts the tape in his deck, and on comes this song, and this is what he hears. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. You get the idea. Just loop that 8 or 10 times, and you have The Booty Don't Stop in its entirety. So what I did is I wrote a little cover of The Booty Don't Stop. I added some verses to it and kind of did it up in my own style. So here it is, The Booty Don't Stop. Come on, girl. Let's get it on.
I tell you that you're special, that you're the only one. And I say I love you though we haven't been together long. I take you to the movies and I show you all my moves. And you know when I play basketball, I bust that J for you. I buy you flowers and candy and I call you every night. When I drop you off at home, I stay till you turn on the light. I do it for a reason, I won't feed you any line. When I first saw that ass, I knew I had to make it mine. Cause damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do? What you gonna do, yeah? Your mama won't let me in your room no matter how I plead. And Papa says when to have you home if I wanna keep my knees. Shorty, tell your family, stop fronting on my game. Cause if I don't get to touch that ass, I'll never be the same. Or other girls may have it, and even more may try. But baby, I don't love them hoes, and let me tell you why. Cause I wanna warm that ass up and tap it like a phone. And call it on those nights I'm cold and feeling so alone. Singing, damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do? What you gonna do, yeah?
Girl, the first time I saw that ass, I wanted to get it on. Cause I gotta say, baby, it's even finer than Jesse Thorne.
Ooh, yeah, baby. Oh, David and Goliath, Moses and the sea, Noah and his punk ass ark don't mean a thing to me. But mighty is the crescent and holy is the whole. So baby, let's get biblical and I'll show you the score. Other boys may covet and others may be meek, but other boys don't get to watch you turn the other cheek. Cause you are mine forever and you will be mine tonight. And we'll be getting freaky while I treat that booty right, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Alright, come on, you guys. Let me hear you.
Stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. Damn, the booty don't stop, girl. What you gonna do?
Make it sweet now.
What you gonna do, yeah?
Beautiful, you guys. Thank you very much.
And on that pleasant note, another Sound of Young America program comes to its conclusion. I've been your host, Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. The show produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our theme music written and performed by Dan Grayson with help from myself. Interstitial music by Dan Wally. Our intern is Casey O'Brien. Special thanks to the folks at Seattle Sketchfest for hosting us so graciously. You can find them online at sketchfest.org. I hope you'll visit us online at MaximumFun.org, and if you have any thoughts about the show, you can always email us. Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at MaximumFun.org is my own very personal email address. We'll see you next time right here on The Sound of Young America.
Listen to Embedded for moments that stay with you.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Voices that resonate. Stories that change the way you think about your life.
How did we get here?
The Embedded podcast is NPR's home for original documentary series. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
On NPR's Throughline,
we cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt, because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.